Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining me today, all the way from Kyrgyzstan, is the Director of Lighthouse Ministry, a nonprofit organization based in Kyrgyzstan, working to prepare orphans for independent life after they graduate or age out of the institution. They do this through mentoring programs. Anton is also part of the Kyrgyzstan Without Orphans movement, but he says his greatest role is that of husband and father. Welcome, Anton.
Yes. Hi, Sandra.
How are you? It's evening there. It's morning here.
Yeah, it's already 9 p.m., and so my family is almost going to sleep. At least my kids are.
Wow. So I know you have two children, but how, Anton, share with us how you first got involved with orphan care ministry.
All right. I was actually studying in another country. I was in Lithuania, studying in an awesome place called LCC International University. Don't want to miss a chance to advertise it. And so anyway, I wasn't actually thinking about orphans much before my very last year in college. I think there were several things that inspired me, and one was I have a family there in Lithuania, and they are my mentors, Roman and Julia, and they are a family of five. They have five kids, and they adopted four of them, and so they were one big inspiration for me. And then at some point, I just heard God speaking to me about this problem in Kyrgyzstan, because we have many orphans here. And so I think I just said yes, and my way just started.
Wow. So God got a hold of your heart while you were in college. He opened your eyes to the orphan. So as a college student, what did you do next?
Well, I had one more year to study, and I just started to research the topic in my country, at the same time trying to meet as many people who involved in this kind of work in other countries. So I've been traveling to Germany, to Ukraine, and other places, just meeting people, talking with them about how they deal with that, what kind of challenges they see. And I was just trying to put this whole thing together. And pretty much I would say that this year was just full of miracles. So God provided everything. And by the time I graduated, we already had a team of three people. And we just came to Kyrgyzstan. I was returning home, and two of my friends came there with me. One of my friends, his name is James. He's from America. And another friend, Yeva, she is from Lithuania. They helped start this organization. And yeah, we just jumped into the work right away, actually.
So Lighthouse has been established for about 3 years now. Tell us about this ministry. What do you do?
Well, there are many kids in orphanages in Kyrgyzstan. And one of the biggest troubles is that by the time they graduate at the age of 16 or 18, they are pretty much out on the street by themselves, because the government is not really providing any transition for them for the independent living. And so what we do, we just try to solve this issue. Our main goal is to prepare kids for their independent living. And what we do is we advertise our program to different churches in Kyrgyzstan. We invite volunteers to work with such kids. Then we train them. We have a psychologist who is working with them, preparing them for this kind of work. We have a training for them. And then after all the preparation, they actually make a decision and commitment. They commit for at least 1 year, one-on-one relationship with one child. Most of our kids in the program are teenagers, 12 and older. And so they commit, the volunteers commit for 1 year, meeting with the kid at least once a week. And our main goal is, first of all, to build the friendship, and then through the friendship, to prepare the kid for their independent living. And they need all kind of help, starting from caring for themselves, for their health, and for their just kind of social affairs to many different things, including how to find a job, how to prepare themselves for a job, for how to rent a place like an apartment or a room, how to pay for it, how to manage your household, how to cook. Many, many different issues arise every time. And that's what we have been doing for almost 3 years. Now we have I think more than 60 kids in the program.
Wow. And I know you mentioned when kids graduate or age out, they're between 16 and 18 years old, they're not ready for independent living. And what happens to many of them if they don't get this kind of mentoring help?
Well, the biggest issue is that when they graduate, they don't have jobs and they don't have places to live, and they are not able to get those because they are not prepared. And so many of them, they end up in either living on the street or in prisons. Many of them become drug or alcohol addicts. Many girls end up in prostitution because that's the way to earn money on the streets sometimes. And yeah, many of them get most of this list actually in their lives.
So I just see such value in this mentoring program that you've developed. Another program through Lighthouse is Crafts for Change. Tell us about that one.
About a year and a half ago, some of our kids from the program, they started to graduate from the orphanages, and the jobs, it really became an issue because it is possible to find work for them, but it is very hard to convince people to put extra effort to train those kids and actually to give them more patience than with other employees, because those kids, they are not prepared, and they are bad in discipline sometimes. They arrive late and stuff like that. And so we realized that we need to start something, some kind of social business to employ them. And so we've started a program that's called Crafts for Change, which is pretty much a carpentry workshop where we train those kids how to work with wood. And then we employ them, and they make all kind of different products by themselves. And then we sell them to different companies or individuals. And this organization actually makes money, so it is pretty much for profit, and we can support our nonprofit initiatives. So it's kind of a full circle. The kids are able to have a job, they have a good salary, and they are able to pay for their living, and so they don't need to live on the streets. And together with mentoring, it actually kind of like a more holistic help for them, I would say.
Yeah, now you mentioned some of the kids that are in the mentoring program are as young as 12 years old. So are you actually going into the orphanages and connecting with kids there before they age out?
Yes, the mentoring usually starts while the kids are still in the orphanages because that's the easy way to approach them. So right now we work with three different governmental orphanages in Bishkek and one institution in another small town, in another part of the country. And so we start from when they're still in the orphanages, but then of course we transfer them to the we give employment to them when they already graduate, so when they're 16 or 18, usually that's age.
So, Anton, can you share with us at least one of the success stories from the mentoring programs?
I have one story that is actually connected to both of those programs. So we have one girl, her name is Vika, in the program, and she actually was approached by believers when she was 10. She was taken to kind of like a Christian summer camp for kids, and she actually became a follower of Christ. But then after the camp, the church that organized it, they kind of never came back to this orphanage. And so this girl, she has been through many hard things in her lives. So she was living on the street. She was living with all kind of bad, in all kind of bad places. She has been trying to commit suicide multiple times. And so she was, when she ended up in the institution, she was really a hard kid to work with. And so at some point when she was already 16, she was actually kicked out of the orphanage because she was misbehaving so much. And so she ended up on the street, and her mentor was able to help her with housing. She find her a temporary place to live, and then she moved to renting a room. And then by that time, we already had our carpentry project running, and so we offered her an employment, and she gladly came. And so right now she has been working for more than a year. She's working, getting a salary, renting a room in Bishkek, paying for the room by herself, and actually paying for all of her expenses, food and clothes and all the daily living. So I would say that, yeah, she is pretty much living independently, earning her own living and able to pay for herself. Of course, we still have some things to deal with. Like earning money is one thing, how to spend it wisely is another thing.
Yes.
So there is always a way to go, more work to do. But she's one of our good success stories.
Oh, wonderful. I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, like we're talking about today, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is the director of Lighthouse Ministry, a nonprofit organization based in Kyrgyzstan, working to prepare orphans for independent life after their graduation from the institution. And they do this through mentoring programs. Anton Palutin. Nope. Help me out, Anton.
Putilin.
Putilian. So Anton is also an adoptive dad and a husband, which he tells me is his favorite role. So another hat he wears is with Kyrgyzstan Without Orphans. Now, World Without Orphans is a global movement to see orphans adopted into safe, loving families where they will come to know their heavenly father as well. Kyrgyzstan Without Orphans is a part of that movement. So, Anton, how did you get involved with Kyrgyzstan Without Orphans?
A couple of years ago, some people from the World Without Orphans came to Kyrgyzstan actually, and we had some guests from America, some guests from Canada and Ukraine. And so they've just organized our first conference, Kyrgyzstan Without Orphans. And they pretty much tried to invite everyone who has been involved in this kind of work. And so I happened to be there as well. And so I think after the conference touched so many hearts that we've just got together and we start talking and planning how to start a movement in our country. And I think it's just the way to kind of unite people who already been doing some work. And so right now I think the work can be more united and can be more successful and powerful because we can cover more areas of this fight against orphanhood. So we have different organizations in different parts of Kyrgyzstan working with different sides of this problem. So some organizations like us are working with mentoring, and some do foster care. Some organizations are working with crisis families trying to prevent orphanhood and stuff like that.
Wow. So now, Anton Putilian, hopefully that was better. You and your wife, Uliana, have one biological child and one adopted child. So can you tell us about adopting?
I'm very lucky with my wife. We've actually been talking about adoption before we got married, so it was part of our kind of premarital counseling program. So we were both thinking about adoption even before marriage, and so when we've got married, After about like 6 months, we start to pray about it, and we find out that we are pregnant. And so it was one big miracle because we had the chance of not having kids of our own, and so it was a big start. But still, even while we were pregnant, we couldn't stop thinking about adoption. So we have adopted a girl. Her name is Yulia, when she was 9, and we were still pregnant with our son Mark.
Wow.
So we've kind of had 2 kids in 1 year. And so some people, including believers, called us crazy.
I've heard that before about my family.
Yeah. But we really felt the God's presence in this decision, and we really felt a big blessing out of this decision, because we've never lacked anything in our family, even like financially. But when we've adopted, I think we've just been blessed abundantly with everything. So if I will tell you about every miracle related to this adoption process, I think it will take a few hours to tell everything.
Well, it is a miracle, and I know my husband and I have 3 biological children and 5 adopted children, and people, you know, even believers thought we were crazy and probably still do. But, you know, when you walk out in faith what God calls you to do, you get to experience those miracles.
True.
Yes. So now, as adoptive parents, you and I know the challenges of parenting children with trauma backgrounds. Here in the United States, we have easy access to books and the Empower to Connect training, and the adoption community has so many resources. But that's not necessarily the case in Kyrgyzstan, is it? So how are you helping families there?
Right. Actually, while we were in the process of adoption, we've never received any help here from the government or like local programs. We've been consulted by different families from abroad, including my friends from Lithuania, but we actually never received training here in Kyrgyzstan. And so later on, we found out that there are some people that are having bits of knowledge, but there is no like a school for parents here. And so in the beginning of this year, when we've been in a World Without Orphans conference, we were so inspired by the adoptions that are going on around the world that many of our teammates, they really wanted to push adoption more, kind of like advertise it and make it popular between believers. But one big trouble that we saw is that there is no actually proper education here. And so you probably know that it is not that hard actually to adopt a child, but it is much harder to be a good parent for him and
yes.
not to actually return those kids, because it happens a lot.
Right.
And so without a proper education, I was really afraid of making a mistake of like pushing the church to adopt more without preparing. And so we actually prayed about it, and we've connected with our government, our Ministry of Social Affairs, regarding opening a school for adoptive parents. And that's our plan for this fall. We've actually just had a trainer for trainers here in Kyrgyzstan and prepared 7 trainers for the school of adoptive parents here. And so we are planning to launch the school next month. And I'm very hopeful that the government will give us more support in terms of just like sending parents to us and helping us with local staff. So yeah, that's our new ministry upcoming this year.
I love the idea of a school for adoptive parents. I think that's incredible. I want to come to your school myself. So that's just because that's just it. You and we've parented, my husband and I, we have, you know, practically 3 grown children at the time that we were doing our first international adoption, and we adopted a sibling group of 4 from Ukraine. So we read some books and whatnot, but like you said, nothing really prepares you until you have those children in your home and It's one thing to jump in with both feet and walk by faith and bring children into your home, but when these children come in and they're so deeply wounded, some of them, I can tell you that parenting them is totally different than parenting biological children. It's like you have to throw that rule book out and start something totally new. So I can see the value in a school for adoptive parents.
Yeah.
So that is wonderful. So now as we wrap up our conversation here, Anton, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear from our conversation today?
Well, I think one important thing is that we should really understand why are we actually have to be involved in helping orphans. I think not many people actually realize that in the Bible, there are many places that where God is calling us to kind of step up against orphanhood, against all the injustice in this world. And I don't think that everyone should adopt, but I really believe that every believer should be involved in some kind of work with orphans. Maybe just like speaking up against the injustice and helping those kids, or being a mentor, or opening up their homes for those kids, or actually helping adoptive parents, or helping some families in crisis that are in need of help so their kids wouldn't end up in the orphanages. So I think it is something that is not just like optional for Christians, but it is actually pretty mandatory if we study the Bible. There are many places. And another thing is that our motivation should be not because we have to do that, but if we open the Bible, there is a place where it is said, and actually there are multiple places where it said that we've been adopted by God through the death of Jesus Christ. And so I think realizing that we are adopted helps us to really see that the troubles of those kids in a different way. So I think when my family adopted our daughter, we actually started to feel more, like to understand more the heart of God towards us, because I actually started to feel that God loves me so much that he adopted me in his family. And I think it really changes my relationships, not only with my family, but also with God and the way I see him, the way I understand his life for me. So I think if every believer will just open his heart and kind of just spend some time studying this topic, studying the word of God regarding orphans, and will pray with his open heart, he will understand that it is something that everyone should be get involved into.
I have to say that I believe I was a Christian for probably 20 years before we actually adopted, and having adopted children gave me a much more clear understanding of salvation and Father God's heart for me and my adoption, like you said. So it's open your Bible, right? Open your Bible. It is the gospel. We are adopted, and we need to do the same.
Yeah.
So wonderful, Anton. Thank you so much for joining us today and for all that you are doing on behalf of orphans. I love, love, love the mentoring program that you're doing and the training for adoptive parents. That's just invaluable work that you're doing there in Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, God is doing many things, and we are participating sometimes.
I always say that. Let's just let God do what he's going to do, and I'll just try to stay out of the way and not mess it up.
yeah, true.
So we'll give him the glory, and thank you again so much. To learn more about Lighthouse Orphan Care Ministry in Kyrgyzstan, visit their website at mentorkg.org. So thank you again, Anton.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So I'm going to give some announcements to our listeners now. Mark your calendar. Some exciting things coming up. Justice for Orphans 5K fundraiser, 5K for Orphans, is on Saturday, October 15th, in conjunction with Abounding Love Christian Fellowship's Harvest Festival in Ravenna, New York. Come run or walk the 5K and support JFO. Help us find families for waiting children. Bring the family, bring your family and stay the day for lots of free fall family fun. The next week, on October 22nd, you're welcome to join us at 9 o'clock in the morning at Faith Baptist Church in Rexford, New York, as we gather to encourage and equip the church to protect the fatherless through orphan ministry, adoption, and foster care. Our keynote speakers will be father-daughter team Ree and Sydney O'Leary of Feeding the Orphans. And mark your calendar for Orphan Sunday. It's just 6 weeks away from this broadcast on November 13th. Is it on your church calendar? Orphan Sunday is the perfect opportunity to begin the conversation about caring for the orphan, about walking out James 1:27 with your congregation. Details and free resources are found on orphansunday.org. And we want to hear from you. If you go to orphansunday.org, if your church is doing something for Orphan Sunday, get your church on the map. As the regional coordinator for Orphan Sunday in New York, I would love to see the map of New York all filled up with Orphan Sunday observances. So whether it's your church, your Sunday school, your small group, your youth group, there's something that you can do, whether it be big or small. If your pastor is willing to preach a message that day about the orphan, that gospel message about caring for the least of these, if your church is doing playing the Orphan Sunday video clip that you can find on the Orphan Sunday website, there's package of programs that you can do, whether it be is your church doing the shoe boxes with Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. Those boxes often go to orphans and vulnerable children. You can combine that with your Orphan Sunday observation. Maybe you're doing ornaments for orphans, or maybe like my church is collecting, we're putting together a shipment of duffel bags filled with personal items for children, local kids in foster care that we're going to be distributing. So there's all kinds of different ways you can observe Orphan Sunday. Get the conversation started. Get your church to stand for the orphan. So for free resources on that, again, go to orphansunday.org. Details for the 5K, which is, again, on October 15th, and about the Orphan Conference, which is on October 22nd, you can go to our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.